is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, it's time to empower, educate, and encourage all women to motivate you through whatever you've been going through. We can talk about it. We ain't passing no judgment. So don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane. Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. Tune into your lane talk show. It makes us feel good just to know we're not alone. No more will we feel isolated and cast aside. I want you to come out the dark. Just don't be afraid of your heart. So don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's nice. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane. Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. It's your lane talk show with Coach Trish Hannah.
Hello, hello, good afternoon. Happy Sunday to you. I am so happy to be a part of today's session with you on Your Lane Talk Show. I am your favorite coach on a Sunday afternoon, Coach Hannah, and this is the place where we encourage, empower, and educate women of all ages, all right? And I want you to know that when we do all of these things, we ensure that the spirit, the soul, and body is taken care of, because this is a faith-based show and we're not afraid to go there. We're not afraid to touch topics, the taboo topics that you may not normally hear in your church. And if you do, you only hear the surface. Not all of them now, but in some churches, you only hear the surface teaching, but you don't get the in-depth, right? And so we try to bring pastors and professionals and, you know, all the therapists, doctors, etc. on the show so that we can get the meat, we can get everything that is needed, the core of what is needed to help set us free. It is through knowledge that the just is delivered. As we continue on, as you know, that this is a brand new year, and last week we mentioned that we have a series going on in the month of January called the Aligned Life. This is actually part two of the Aligned Life, and today we're continuing the show with Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing from last week's topic, which was fasting, resetting your spirit for a new year. Now, we know, as Pastor Kevin mentioned, in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus says that some of these things, these kind, only come through much prayer and fasting. So we're wondering why we're fasting. We've been fasting all these years and nothing has been happening. We've probably been doing it wrong. That's one. Two, we haven't really been doing it the way that God wants us to. And three, when we were fasting, we probably weren't praying the way that we were supposed to. As you know, as Pastor Kevin alluded last week, we pray selfish prayers and not selfless prayers. So we got to be mindful of when we're praying and how we're praying when we fast. Actually, this day was going to be, as I mentioned last week, we were going to be talking about health and fitness, right? But God saw it fit that things were prepared in a way where we got an opportunity to do part two of fasting with Pastor Kevin. And not only that, this is an opportunity where we ask those hard questions that we always wanted to find out regarding fasting. Notice I said regarding fasting. So please, when we open up the lines and we open up the opportunity for you to ask questions, please let it be on the premise or the basis of what we are discussing today. That would be phenomenal. Now, if we have time at the end, probably like 15, 10 minutes before the end of the show ends at 5, we can answer any other questions if we do have time outside of the fasting topic today, okay? So we're going to do some phenomenal things today with our co-host, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, all right? We're going to ensure that we have our notes and our pens together so that we can write down whatever scripture references that he is going to share. In my time coming here today, I can say that during prayer, I was like, Lord, I thank you that there are still men and women of God who still fear you. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that something to give God thanks for? There are still people of God who fear that they don't want to add anything unto the scriptures and they don't want to take anything away because of whatever judgment that may fall on them. And so we have an opportunity to have a man of God that speaks only the scriptures, not his opinions, all right? And allows us to take it in and marinate whatever word that is given to us. And hopefully we go back home and we study those. That's what makes us effective people on the earth. That's what makes us different from the rest. We're chosen, set apart. We're doing things as a kingdom citizen when we apply the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, right? So that's what we're doing. We're using the word of God and we're applying it and we're doing it daily. All right. So without further ado, once again, this is the question and answer segment. This is important for us because I know that there were so many questions that came in, even on my phone. There were some people that asked me questions out on Messenger, my private Messenger. There were some that asked during at the Your Lane Messenger, and then there were a few that was on the Nassau Guardians text. Now I can tell you after 5, I have no access to the questions that were asked on the text line. And then there's a show that follows. And so they normally just delete them. So anything before 5, I can see. Between 3 and 5, I can see. And anytime after that, I'm sorry that I'm unable to get that. All right, so we're going to go right ahead. I want you to know that there are lots of ways. You can tune into Guardian 96.9 FM radio dial, channel 969 on cable, BTC Flow channel 612, the Guardian radio app for Android or Apple, or on the website www.guardiantalkradio.com. We're also on Facebook, Your Lane Life Coaching, and all of our guests' Facebook accounts. Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing has Kevin L.A. Ewing Ministries and Kevin L.A. Ewing, and I'm sure there's probably another more. And then he's also on YouTube. We're also on YouTube. You can go to Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna Live as there. So lots of ways for you to put in whatever questions that you may have. And of course, you can also give us a call. The numbers here are 1-242-323-6232, 1-242-325-4316, and 1-242-325-4259. And if you do not want us to hear your voice, but you want to text anonymously, the text line for this show for Guardian Radio is 422-GR96. 1-242-422-GR96, which is 422-4796. Okay. And I want to do a shout out to our special, special, special people that won the Prayers That Work book from Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. All right. So congratulations to Mr. Ruben Storr, Miss Miriam Spence LaRota, Miss Darlene Sands, Miss Nicola Roll, and Jason, who said, please don't call my last name. Congratulations to you all who won themselves the Prayers That Work book, the prayer book. This book has been sold basically throughout the entire world, I could say. It's the number one and the bestseller as we speak. And of course, it is littered with lots of scriptures And it is a template on how we should pray. So for those who may say, well, I don't know how to pray effectively, go ahead, pick up the book, read it. It has lots of scriptures. So you know the Lord, that the God that we serve, said, remind him of his word. So those scriptures, those prayers there are littered with scriptures for you to read, knowing for a fact that because we're using his word, it's a sword of the spirit. So we're cutting off and slicing the enemy's neck when we're praying these prayers. And of course, God is hearing us and allowing his angels to go forth and minister and do their bidding because of his word. All right. So I want to thank our continued listening audience. And for those who are joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Your Laying Talk Show, episode 158, Fasting, Questions and Answers with Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, is brought to you by John Shoe Store and Accessories, Tropical Gyros, Your Laying Life Coaching, The Perfume Bar, YBE Promotions. I'd like to say that YBE Promotions is doing it again. They are bringing over Chandler Moore. He is the lead singer of Maverick City and Elevation Music. All right. And he's coming with a heart of worship at the I Shall Not Want concert. Of course, this concert is going to feature DJ Godson, Oslane Jadord, Nigel Lewis, Shara J, and Xander. And it's going to be hosted by Jonay Gibson. Listen to me. This is going to be a party. You know, people say, y'all think that Christians can't party. Christians can party. In a good way, right? We bring in glory to God in our praises. This event is going, and it's going to be located at the Beach Soccer Stadium, East Bay Street, Nassau, Bahamas. We want you to secure your seat and be in the atmosphere. And you can go ahead and purchase the tickets at www.bahamastickets.com. The show is also brought to you by the Children's Dream Journal. And as I mentioned last week, as we step into a new year, many of us are setting goals for our faith, our finances, and our health. But let me ask you this. What's your resolution for your children? What's your New Year's goal for your children? The Children's Dream Journal is a powerful tool to help your child recognize God's voice, record their dreams, and pray through what God is showing them. Dreams are often one of the first places the enemy tries to attack. But this journal helps you cover your child spiritually while building their confidence and identity in Christ. Make intentional parenting part of your 2026 focus. And you can get the Children's Dream Journal at All Seasons Book and Gift Center in Palmdale. Or you can order it at on Amazon today. All right, so without further ado, I'm going to just briefly introduce our co-host, because of course all of his accolades were mentioned, or at least some of them were mentioned last week Sunday. But of course, he is Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. We recognize that this voice has been one that has been sharing the knowledge and faith and the word of God throughout the islands of Grand Bahama, and throughout the islands, especially in Grand Bahama, and throughout the Bahamas at large. He's recognized for his impactful weekly religious articles featured in local newspapers. He's also the host of the popular local radio, The Spiritual Insight Show. Pastor Kevin's teachings are deeply rooted in scripture, which he upholds as the spiritual laws and principles that govern both the spiritual and physical realms. He is the author of the powerful book, Prayers That Work, which continues to inspire and transform lives. He is joyfully married to his beautiful helpmeet, Mrs. Deidre Ewing, who was in the background cooking. And I pray that she save a little piece for me. I don't know how I get in the food, but I know I want some of Mrs. Deidre's cooking today. All right. And together they are the proud parents of five wonderful children. Pastor Kevin is truly a man living the abundant life. He is so passionately teaches about that. And so without further ado, I want Pastor Kevin to go ahead and what we said that we were going to do is just finish off. If there's any fluff that is needed, any little last minute stuff that you wanted to share. If not, we're going to go straight into those questions, the ones that I have received, and we're going to ask those. So go right ahead, Pastor Kevin. Welcome back to your Laying Talk Show.
Well, as usual, Trish, it's good to be with yourself. And you know, it's always a pleasure for me when it's time to share the word of God. Just two things I want to circle around before we get into the question and answer. Mm-hmm. And I think they're two vital things as it relates to fasting. The first one would be most definitely, no matter what type of fast you're doing, it is a priority for you to give to the less fortunate, give to the poor. That is something for the majority of my Christian life I didn't know. I didn't learn that till later on in life, but that is something that is that very much is required. Secondly, this question is asked to me all the time, Kevin, what if I'm not a Christian and I decide to go on a fast and so on and so forth? How do I go about it? And I would say to them point blank, you should never ever attempt going on any fast if you are not saved, a believer of Jesus Christ, because you can make your position worse than what it is. And the scriptures that I gave them was Proverbs 15, verse 8, and Proverbs 28, and verse 9. And one of them says that whosoever turneth his ear from the law, the rules, the principles of God, meaning that you should accept Jesus Christ, which is one of them, it says, even their prayer shall become an abomination unto the Lord. So you refuse to do what he asks you to do, but here you are trying to turn down your plate. And the second scripture says that, which was Proverbs 15 and 8, it says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. So the wicked would be those who don't serve God, who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the same one who has not accepted him is saying again, I want to turn down my plate because I got some issues at work. I don't want to get saved. I'm not interested in that right now. I'm not interested in following his rules, but I want to make a sacrifice. So you fall into that category. And it says that your sacrifice as a wicked person unto the Lord is an abomination to him. So that is detestable. So they're the two things I really wanted to put emphasis on. And I think everything else is straightforward as it relates to what we would have taught last week.
Amen. 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 So, of course, of those, let's see what's happening here. There you go. Can y'all hear me? Can you still hear me? Because I hear, okay, we need that one. Let me do this one. Can you hear me?
Me? I can hear you.
Okay, Pastor Kevin can hear me. I just want to make sure all the audience can hear me as well. Facebook, can you hear me? I hear like a little echo. On his side. Okay, there's an echo. I just wanted to make sure we're good though. Okay, so Pastor Kevin, thank you once again. And for those who want to know about part one, go to part two as we speak. It's episode 157. And so you can get what was mentioned or what was taught last week, okay? It's called Fasting, Resetting Your Spirit for a New Year. You can find that on YouTube, on Pastor Kevin, L.A. Ewing's platforms, and as well as your Lane talk show platform, okay? So let's go ahead with the questions, Pastor Kevin. Here's one of the questions that was asked last week. The question is, how should a wife fast who is in a marriage that has in the past and possibly might still be plagued with an unfaithful spouse?
Right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was another question to it, somewhat similar to that.
But the same person? Okay, because she said, my husband is a man that provides for his family but has had countless sexual relationships over the course of our marriage. And then, do I still have to ask permission from him to start a fast, or do I have the right, because of his lifestyle, to engage in a fast?
Right.
All right.
Now, this is a very, very delicate situation. It would have come off the heels of last week, when I would have made it very clear that according to the Bible, it is illegal spiritually for any one of the couples to engage in a fast without informing the other. And more so, the other one wants to be intimate, and you say to them, hey, look, I'm going to fast. We can't do this right now. Not getting their consent to it is considered something that's... So I want us to go to the scripture that would prove this, and that would make it clear it's not my opinion. Instead, this is...
Do you hear an echo?
Yeah, I hear like an echo.
Right. So turn down the volume for StreamYard. Turn down the volume for StreamYard. And then open up the mic for Zoom. Just listen via Zoom. Okay. And turn down the volume for StreamYard. Okay. Let's try that.
Okay. So turn down, because I had it on mute. But just turn it down, you're saying.
That's what he's saying. Let me. you know.
Right. Okay. So let me turn it
on. It sounds good now. I don't know. Whatever that you did. I don't hear an echo. We good, Chris? Okay.
Good now, right? I don't get a feedback.
I'm not getting a feedback. Are you getting a feedback? Praise the Lord. Okay, sorry, sir. Come now. We come against all these little distractions in the name of Jesus. Not today. Not today.
This here, remember, this question comes off the heel of last week where I was saying that if you're going to go on a fast as a married person, according to the biblical rules, this is my personal opinion, both parties must give consent to this, all right? Mm-hmm. Meaning that all pleasurable intimate activities must be brought to a halt, at least until we would have completed the fast. And one should not go on a fast and do not tell the other party. The other party must be given consent. So this question somewhat came off the heels of that because, of course, this is going to erupt other questions. Well, what if he isn't safe, or, you know, what if he beat me up and all of these other things? And it's almost as if people are saying to me, well, Kevin, you need to adjust God's law to suit my situation. But that's not the deal. Now, to understand this, this now opened up a whole new can of worms because it now speaks directly to marriages. Mm-hmm. And then when I tell people what I'm about to say next, they become offended. But according to the Bible, not Kevin, according to the Bible, there are two types of marriages. There is the marriage where God has ordained for that particular person and they fulfill that from the foundation of the world, okay? Just say you and your husband. God, that was God's choice from the foundation. That's it. According to biblical rules, if you and your husband were to get a divorce, you guys cannot. You cannot marry anybody else. If you want to be married again, you have to reunite. That is called the God kind of marriage, or as stated in Matthew 19, verse 6, about there, it says that is called the whom God has put together, let no man put asunder. That key verse is saying to you, not every marriage is from God. I'm making these claims first, these disclaimers according to scripture, because where we're going next is strictly scripture-based, because it gives two separate rules for the two separate marriages, right? So if we quickly go here to Matthew chapter 19, and it says here in verse 5, this is when the Pharisees came at Jesus, asking him the situation about marriage, remarriage, divorce, and so on. And verse 5 of Matthew 19 says, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, as Jesus speaking, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. Verse 6 says, wherefore, as Jesus speaking, wherefore, they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Now the truth was, if all marriages were the same, we didn't need that statement right there. Why would he make this separation? Because he's saying here, if the statement is what therefore God joined together, let no man put asunder, then it's saying that if something is not joined by God, which is not the will of God, then man does have the right to put it asunder. But again, we're not getting into that. We just want to answer the question. So with that said, let's quickly go via to 1 Corinthians to answer this person's question. Here it is, you are with a person. They're a provider. They're all this stuff. But they don't serve God. They're not a Christian. They're a sweetheart or side piece keeper and all of this other stuff. Should I get my directives from him or whatever the case may be? Well, generally, yeah, because he is the head, but there are more to it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, okay? And you're going to see here that Apostle Paul is going to now elaborate on the statement that Jesus made in Matthew about this whom God has put together, clearly making a distinction that there are two types of marriages. So 1 Corinthians 7 says, beginning at 1, now concerning the things wherefore ye wrote unto me, it is good for him. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Mm-hmm. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the man. The wife had no power, she had no power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband had no power of his own body, but his body belongs to his wife. Verse 5 now begins to go into what we're talking about. He says, defraud ye not one another, except, in other words, do not deprive each other of your intimacy, except, very clear here now, except it be with consent, where both of you agree for a time that you may be given yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, right? But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, all right? Now I want us to drop to verse 12, because this what he's talking about here, he's talking about the marriage that is ordained by God, okay? That's what he's talking about. When you drop to verse 12, listen to the language. But to the rest, remember what this entire thing is about. He's talking about marriage. He's talking about the virgins, and then if you can't handle yourself, get married so you don't be fornicating and so on. Now that you're married in the will of God, this is the purpose for your life. These are the rules that you follow. That's the ordained. That's the marriage that Jesus referred to. God has put together. Let no man put asunder. Why? Because this is the will of God. Anyone who doesn't believe what I just said just now is simultaneously saying that every marriage that ever takes place on this earth was ordained by God. And we all know that that's not true, right? So verse 12 says, but to the rest, or to the ones who married outside of the will of God, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, if any brother had a wife that believed me, be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Don't divorce her. Don't separate from her. Don't do that because you're saying, oh, this ain't the will of God for my life. No. You're in a covenant, and the Bible isn't in any way trying to promote divorce because you didn't connect with the right person. It's saying, well, live as best you could with this choice that you made. Verse 13 says, and the woman which had a husband and believed not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband, listen carefully now, because this answers the question. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Kevin, this man, okay, he takes care of the family, but he got sweethearts. He's very much unfaithful to me, so on and so forth. So how does the rules work for me if this isn't the will of God? Well, the Bible is saying in this particular position, even though this may not be the one call for you to be with, it says that the rules make you, who is joined to him, he is sanctified as a result of you. So what that is saying in so many words, unlike the marriage called by God, even if he said, well, look, I don't care what you want, go on no fast. I want it now, whatever the case may be. The Bible is very clear. The wife, the husband, and vice versa, is sanctified via or because of the believing spouse. But he doesn't end there. Watch what he says next. He says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 7, he says, for the man is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else, if this wasn't the case, if God didn't permit this, even though you're not equally yoked, even though you're not supposed to be together, he says, outside of this, else were your children unclean. But now are they holy, even though this ain't the person I'm supposed to be with. Even though this isn't the person God called us to be with from the foundation of the world. You see, this don't usurp the rules for this particular situation. Verse 16, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister, listen, it's not under bondage, not under covenant, not under contract in such a case, but God had called us all to peace. So again, the question that was asked, as you can see, as Jesus alluded to, as Paul is elaborating on, there are two types of marriage with slightly different rules. In both cases, divorce is not promoted. However, an acceptance is made for it, okay? And the one who was, if the person decide to leave, you have no control over that. We ain't going that far. We're to the point now where I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do the right thing. I want to fast. I want to do these things right. What if they don't agree? But remember what he said. Even if the person isn't saved, because of the saved spouse, they are sanctified. Because of the saved spouse, the children are not cursed. So So therefore, even if they don't agree, I can go ahead with my fasting. Because it's through me, the saved one, that the relationship is sanctified, despite me moving outside of the will of God by marrying someone that I was never supposed to be. And I hope that answered the question.
My God, that was powerful right there. That is, you just said all kind of people free who in these marriages and they are unhappy, Pastor.
Yeah, because I know this preached to them. I know if you marry somebody else, you're going to hell. And their conditions, their different conditions, their rules. And if you stick to the rules and not tradition, it'll make perfect sense.
Oh my God. You hear that, everyone? And this applies to all of us. Stick to the rules. Obey his commandments. Here's another question. Good afternoon. When you are fasting, can you use anything made from eggs?
You shouldn't be eating, period. Fasting is where you turn down your plate. It is no taking no chicken broth, no none of that. All of those things are going to spike your glucose level and you're defeating the purpose altogether. The whole idea is to make a sacrifice. It means to turn down your plate. There's no eating. Now, you can drink water or probably natural stuff like 100% orange juice or whatever, and even that diluted with a lot of water. I always tell people, like, when I go on a fast, I would get either the Himalayan or the Celtic salt and take a pinch of that and put it on my tongue before every glass of water. Because I'm not eating and getting those nutrients, those natural salts will do that, not table salt. That is the word from it. You want Celtic sea salt or the Himalayan green, the pink salt, sorry. That's what you want to use. But as far as egg and pancake and all these other things, that no, you're not on the fast and you're doing that.
Now, you have some people, Pastor, who would fast. As you've stated, I think some questions were asked last week, from 6 to 6. So after that 6 p.m. Has done and is completed, then they could eat whatever egg and other items that they want to after.
On that type of fast, because you see, from 6 to 6, they normally be eaten within that time, so they're not consuming anything. It is a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still under fall under fasting. They're not doing like how I do, be consecutive to 24 hours without consuming anything. So there's nothing wrong if they do from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. No lunch, no brunch, no breakfast. You just put that down, and that time you just dedicate to God, and then you resume 6 a.m. the next morning. So, yes, I totally approve that.
Okay. And another question is, if you are set out to do a fast for 21 days and you decide to change it weekly, is that an issue?
When you say change it weekly, let me give an example of what I did. When I did my first 40-day fast, I was back in 2011. I've done twice since then, two other since then. And originally, I was on a fast with our church for 21 days. However, during the 21 days, because of the things that I was going through, I was asking the Lord to continue even after the church would have ended theirs, if I could continue with the 19 days or whatever additional. But I didn't get my answer until the very day that the fast was concluded. I was actually in my shower preparing to go teach Sunday school that Sunday. And what I heard in my spirit, if you want something different, you have to do something different. So for me, that was the green light to continue. So in that case, I shift from the 21 and went straight on to the additional 19 days to make a 40-day fast. So that's why in this person's case, when they said shift, what exactly are they shifting or how are they doing it?
Okay.
And the reason why I'm asking that is because, again, I'm going to give you Bible to see where it could be erroneous. Okay, so the Bible says to us, for example, let's say they're going on a fast for like 10 days. I'm going to go on a fast for 10 days and I'm believing God. I started out saying, God, I'm believing you. In 10 days, I want this spirit of procrastination broken off of me. Now you get into day 4. Okay, God, let me do it 5 days. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If it's anything, you want greater, you want lengthen the sacrifice approval, but you don't want less in it because you can't control your flesh. You're defeating the whole purpose of the fast. Because remember, it is to make a sacrifice. So from that perspective, no, I don't agree. If you started out what you do in 10 days, but you're so hungry, you need to get to shut this down in 5 days. No, that's not a fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so let's go. On with the questions. Someone asks, after one breaks the fast, you can eat, right?
Well, Chris, before I get there, there was something you just had posted there. Because I always get it when people, when I talk about the marriage thing, they love to throw this Gomer and Hosea thing. Listen to me carefully. Gomer and Hosea, that was the will of God for Hosea's life. That ended right there. It ended right there. I cannot challenge the will of God. Yes, she was a prostitute. Yeah. Whatever's the will of God, I don't know how the package is going to come. I can't dictate how that package should be. So that is no case to say, well, oh, that don't mean that it's not the will of God. In that case, it is the will of God. But like I would have said in my marriage teachings, more than 70% of people that marry will marry the wrong person. Why? Because number one, their mind is not renewed, and that is necessary according to the word, Romans 12 and 2, so that you will be able to prove what is an acceptable will of God for your life. So if your mind is not renewed, your chances of marrying the wrong person or doing anything wrong as a Christian is more likely to be done.
Yeah.
So, right. So the devil didn't ask Hosea to marry the prostitute. God did. And it is God's will that that was supposed to be the case. And overall, it was just showing Israel how he feels when one human experiences the same thing when their wife cheats on them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me try to, because I mean, let me see if I could assist this person asking this question. How should you break your done as far as eating is concerned and as far as your spiritual mindset is concerned?
You said you want a system, you want me to answer?
No, I want you to, because the way that they're asking is after one breaks the fast, you can eat, right? So I'm trying to find a way to ask the question thoroughly so that you can answer it.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the things you don't want to do once you would have completed a fast is go right into hard food, rice, chicken, beef, steak. You do not want to do that. You should ease it all down with some beef broth, chicken broth, and just kind of build your way up. But what is even more important than that? How do I end my fast spiritually? Mm-hmm. First of all, let's go to the scripture. The Bible says that when we pray, we must primarily believe whatever it is that we're praying for. We must believe that we shall receive it. And then he promised in this protocol that we should have it. Everyone who concludes a fast, it should be about, Father, I thank you. You know what that fast for? It's a done deal. Mm-hmm. There is no conversation. There are no statements that should be opposing the purpose of why you went on that fast. If you went on that fast and come back, oh boy, I hope this thing works good. Lord, the devil's so busy. Boy, these evil co-workers. You might as well say, Satan, please come and just beat me up. Because you are speaking against. The Bible says that a man shall eat good by the fruit of his lips. The Bible says that death and life resides in the power of his tongue. And they that love the nonsense or the positive godly things that they say shall eat the fruit thereof. So there's scriptures upon scriptures that show you, you must be totally in compliance of what you went on that fast for, believing this situation with my marriage is fixed, this situation with my children, my health, everything that I went to God for according to his will, meaning that I've attached the word to what I'm praying for, it is a done deal because he's a God that cannot lie.
Amen. I love that. I love that. You are going on the fast believing that God is going to hear you and he is willing to do exactly what he said he is going to do concerning your life. So we're going to take a quick break. And after we get back, we're going to answer the rest of these questions. If you want to call in, you can go ahead and do so. 1-242-323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. If you have a question about fasting and you want to be anonymous or you just would rather text than to go on social media, the number to text is 422-4796, okay? We're answering questions about fasting. So, of course, the fasting will fall under submitting to our spouses. Anything to do in that regard, we are willing to answer the question. We do have a caller, but caller, if you want to wait until we come off of our break, then we can answer the phones regarding that, okay? You wait for him? All right, so we're going to wait until we get back from our break, and then if the caller can wait, that'll be perfect. We'll answer as soon as we get off of our break. All right, you're listening to Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna and our co-host, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing. We'll be right back.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
This year is going to be magical, and Lurix invites you to feel the magic by taking care of you with small luxuries at excellent prices. Shop with Lurix all month long for our mega sale up to 50% off on selected fragrances, skincare, cosmetics, and so much more. Feel the magic and save this new year only at Lurix.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, welcome back. And as promised, we're going to take this caller. Good afternoon. You're Lane Talk Show with Coach Trish. How may we help you today? Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Yes, I like the conversation about fasting. You know, it's not a demand. It's not commanded. How long you should go on fast for, you determine how you want to go on that, because there are some people may have a condition. There are some newborn in Christ. So I may can't go on a seven-day fast, but God will honor if you go on a one-day fast if you do it sincerely, not for bitterness or strife or anger, whatever. You see, but if you follow that, you can hardly find whether the porcelain always used to go on fast, 21 days fast, or whatever. You more find where Daniel went on that 21 days fast. Because it's all different type of fasting, you know. It's all different type of fasting. But even if you're a married person, you must consult your wife or your husband. Now, I'm going on a 3 days fast or a week fast, because why? You are married. And if she don't believe in that, then it could be a problem. So everybody must come together and agree. This fasting is not to gain you strength or whatever, just to strengthen your body and stuff like that, because we already going to have the power of God inside of us. So, you know, so that's how I see it, you know. It's not a demand that you have to go on a fast every year or every month. As you please to go, you go. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. All right, so there are some things that you said that I completely agree with, especially the one with knowing to reach out to your spouse and let them know, you know, what you're doing in an agreement. And that was actually last week, Sunday, and a little bit of today at the beginning of the show. So I'm not certain if you were able to hear it, but that was already mentioned. And of course, Pastor Kevin is going to then answer, because there were one or two that I was a little sketchy about. I don't know if he picked up on it, but I'm going to allow him to speak. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I 95% agree with the caller. I think he was very brilliant at giving his intake and all his output and all that. What I don't agree to with is the spouse part that we talked about earlier. And again, when we only read parts of scripture, yes, we can come to the conclusion that, okay, you have to get your spousal permission. That is correct for the marriage that is called by God. If you continue to read, particularly verse 12, Paul says, but to the other, I'm talking about the other type of marriage. There's only two types of marriages. The one that is called by God, what God has ordained, that was included in your package as his will for your life. And then there's the one where you drift off and do your own thing because of lust, tradition, whatever. So now he's referring to the one who know that you don't have a cooperative partner. He makes it very clear that even though the other party is not a Christian, even though the other party would not give you the consent, he says, nevertheless, because of you, the Christian one, the party is sanctified because of you. The children are not cursed because of you, the saved one. So even if you decide to go on a fast and one day this man come home and say, man, lucky I want my wife and grab you and do his thing, that don't even matter no more. He is sanctified because of you. You understand? So this isn't like the original marriage that Paul spoke about. The one whom God has called together should follow the rules. Why? Because you have two people here who are compliant in agreement with the word of God. Okay, baby, we supposed to get intimate. Let's focus on the word. Because our two of them subscribe to the same rules. You marry the person who is a Muslim. You marry a person who is an atheist. You marry somebody who just ain't into being safe. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me now you should never do a fast because they don't ever agree with you? Uh-uh. The prefix or the prerequisite was they are sanctified because of you, the saved one. All right? The second one is in terms of, I do agree, the time of when you fast and so on shouldn't be an issue. However, the Bible says in the book of Luke, it says that, and Jesus, who was led into a fast, he was led by the Spirit of God. So it ain't a matter of how long you want fast, it's how would the Holy Spirit tell you how long to fast, because he would know the precise amount of time you need to resolve whatever issue it is that you're praying for.
Yes, yes. Well said, sir. All right, so let's get back. Okay. So another question is fasting meant to be only for Christians, or is it spiritual discipline anyone seeking God can practice? Now, I know you mentioned this last week as well, and you mentioned a little bit about it today. So if you want to go ahead and answer it again, that's up to you.
So overall, fasting is a principle. A principle simply means something can be used for good or evil. So a non-Christian engaging in a fast is a very dangerous thing. And I gave the scriptures as a review from last year week, which was Proverbs 15:8, which says very clearly, the wicked, the person who has made up in their mind, I do not want to serve God. I do not want to accept him as Lord and Savior. However, I need a favor right now, God. So I turn down my plate. God said in his word, this is not my opinion, the sacrifice of the wicked. Is the person who is not saved, do they fall under the category of wicked? Yes. Are them turning down their plate as a sacrifice? Yes. So they've met the two qualifiers. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 28 verse 9 says, he that turneth his ear from the law of God, meaning that I'm not interested in God's rules, laws, and principles. It says, even his prayer shall become an abomination. So this is the word of God. Now, it is also a principle because it could be used for good or evil. People that practice sorcery, witchcraft, voodoo, depending on the level of power they're seeking demonically, will be determined by the deity they're seeking this power from to go 50 days, 100 days, 90 days, fasting, whether it's eating once a day or just not eating at all. Now, here is the interesting part, Trish, and this is the part, knock your socks off. Mm-hmm. You hear all this complaining I hear, oh, you only can fast 2 days, I can't do it, I got this, I got diabetes, I got this, I got that. Tell the voodoo man, let the voodoo man tell them, listen, you won't be rich, you won't get a promotion on the job, you won't get your enemy back. Go to the graveyard, sleep on the grave, 4 o'clock in the morning for 20 minutes for the next 2 years. They don't question Satan. They don't question the Obeah man. They don't question the witch. They don't question the warlock. Only when you tell them the church is going on fast for the next 2 days and we want everybody to come together. Oh, my kidney hurting, my liver, and my big toe hurting. everything hiding on you now. Mm-hmm. So you see why the people from the kingdom of darkness get more demonic results than those from the kingdom of light. Because the kingdom of light are just overflowing with excuses, finding every reason. I got diabetes. I got this. Of course, if you have medical ailments, and I always tell people this when they join my fast, go and consult your doctor. I'm not a doctor. Go and consult your doctor. Let your doctor advise you on this. I wouldn't even say you're responsible. Mm-mm. That's what God made doctors for. They would be the one to guide you in that area. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a principle for good or evil. However, if you are an evil person, when you don't want to get saved and want to seek God for help in fasting by sacrifice, you're making your situation worse than what it originally is.
All right. Another question is, in Isaiah 58, God speaks about the heart behind fasting, not the title of the person fasting. Wouldn't that apply to everyone?
I don't understand that. What you mean, the title? What title is this?
I'm not certain. I don't think if you poster, if you want to elaborate on that, we'll get back to that question for you. All right. Let's move on. Whatever you're fasting for should be in alignment with the will of God for your life. Sometimes rejection is protection. He is all-knowing, so just trust him. Okay, that was
it. Kim, please come to the front of the class.
Okay. I can't remember most of my dreams, even if I am on a fast. Any help on why? That's a good question.
Right. And I've done a lot of teaching on this extensively. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have difficulty recalling your dreams, this is a very, very horrible situation you could be in, because the purpose of your dreams is to give you spiritual insight or excerpt spiritually of what is going in your life or even the lives of others from a spiritual perspective. So in order to understand this, you must understand the basics of spiritual warfare in the spiritual realm as it relates to our physical realm. So the spiritual world is the origin of all things, is the parent world to our physical world. That world is where everything that will ever take place on this planet materially has been conceived, has been produced, has been manufactured there in this mass distribution setup. Now, when it comes to dreams, just like in the case of Gideon, in the case of Job, what God is doing is giving you an excerpt of what is pending or what's about to happen. He will show you this. So you now have the choice in some cases where you could cancel this, reject it, rebuke it. And this is where I push in my book, how to challenge these things from a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. Also, you're also engaging a law, the law of Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So therefore, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw my cousin in an accident. So death and life in the power of the tongue is in me. When I woke up, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I reject, I rebuke, I cancel that in the name of Jesus. Remember the scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah 54, 17. Listen, and any and every tongue that has risen up against you in judgment, that's tongues what I would have heard, as well as I didn't hear. So whatever demonic concoction is going on at some altar that I'm not even aware of, we are summoning the spirit to kill Kevin. We are summoning the spirits for him to have an attitude. I can't hear that. However, the law gives me that. Any tongue that rises up against me in judgment. It's a judgment they're pronouncing against me. I, not God, I, not the intercessors, I, not my wife, I must condemn it. So even though I don't see it happening, Father, every tongue that has risen up against me in judgment about my health, about my mind, about my marriage, about my finances, about my ministry, according to your word, Isaiah 54, 17, part B, I condemn it. So if you're not recalling your dreams, it means that you're under severe spiritual attack, because the enemy is trying to erase the advanced intelligence God is trying to reveal to you so that you would be more strategic in your spiritual warfare.
Exactly. And also, even when we're fasting and we're praying, our prayers are normally more vivid. You're able to see what those spirits are that are coming against you clearer or better. So when you don't see those spirits, clearly, I don't know, child, you try to see if God is showing you to increase your fasting or something, or find a way, because there might be different ways or strategies to fast. And the one that you may be doing is the one that may not be what God wants you to do. You may be doing the 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. fast, because that 1 hour you may want to go eat. You understand what I'm saying? So he may say, look, I may want you to go 3 days without eating at all, just water. I may need, you know what I mean? I may need you to take a break on a holiday instead of going out and going to the beach. Stay home and just be in my presence. Whatever it is, seek him to find out what it is. Because first of all, we got to realize that not only are we asking him or pursuing him for what he desires with him, but we're humbling ourselves before him. We're hearing him clearly. We're doing what he's required of us to do. But then we're also breaking demonic strongholds and cycles and generational curses, bloodline curses from our lives. And if clearly seeing that one of them is the enemy trying to hinder you from your dreams, which is, as Pastor Kevin stated, a demonic attack. So be going after that. Let's go after that. Let's go after breaking those things that are trying to hinder you from dreaming. All right? As we go through our fast, we're going to receive a call. Yeah? Your Lane Talk Show. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Kish. This lady is called Kish?
Trish.
Well, I just listened to the pastor. I was just chiming in. I just asked, is this Kish on or your Lane? I don't know.
Yes, sir. Remember. Yes, this is Your Lane Talk Show. Yeah, Good afternoon. Coach Trish.
I just wondered if I got your name right.
Yes. No, sir. It's Trish. That's okay.
Oh, Trish.
Put the K down. Put the T up. That's all.
Yeah, forgive me that. You know,
that's okay.
But I just was needing to know what the pastor is saying. And so, you know, really, you know, I fast and I do it intermittently. I try to go like maybe a day the most and then 16 hours for autophagy to kick in. But the reason for fasting, I guess, is, you know, really to clean up the body and the mind. But what I have a question for the pastor is, I noticed that a few times that I was sick in the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. I know it's medication, but most of the times I'm sick or something is wrong, like if I have an injury. I just dream a lot. I just dream. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was in hospital for over a month, 10 at a time, one time, and I was just dreaming. And sometimes I would wake up and I'd be glad that the dreams are not really true, right? So I was moved by what he said. As we all intuitively, for some reason, wouldn't deny what he's saying. It's some way God is trying to connect with you in a way. But it happens a lot when I'm sick, and I just can't explain that. But for me, the body, because when you look at it on a metabolic standpoint, it actually benefits the body. But the fat is not the usual way for the body to obtain energy. Also, I work, right? So that helps. That stops me from fasting because I notice, like, even if I work, because I use a lot of energy, so if I don't eat on time, I would actually feel it, like, physically, because sometimes, like, I know it's bad to skip breakfast, but sometimes I do. And I don't remember, like, Pastor, like, when you were working, you'd be like, wow, I realize I didn't eat. Maybe I'll just get up and eat a banana, drink some water, some grape, something like foodie-wise all the while, and then maybe some herbal tea like that initially. And then I'll go, like, and you'll feel it because you're using energy and not replacing it. So how could I deal with a situation like that? You know, I understand, I appreciate you saying the orange juice, the dilution with the water, which makes sense, right? But it's kind of complicated when people work every day and then you're saying fasting. So I just would like you to comment on why is it that you think I'm dreaming so much when I'm sick, mm-hmm. You know, really. But some of the dreams are good. Some are very frightening. But like I said, I wake up and I'm glad that they're not true. I'll just hang up and listen.
Thank you, caller. Thanks for calling. Pastor Gavin.
Okay. Yeah. So number one, what I would direct this caller to, and many other people who may have a similar question, is I would direct you to my videos right here on YouTube or Facebook, especially my latest ones called End of Year Fast 2025 by Kevin L. Ewing, which gives, I mean, far more details than we can give you in this short space of time. But what I will say to you, my friend, is simply this. The dreams that you are having are not by chance and they're not by accident. In fact, if a person were to see what their spiritual life is all about, go on a fast. Mm. Go on a fast, and I'm telling you, you yourself experience it. The dreams are going to become, I mean, incredible. From nightmares to strange stuff and so on. The problem with you and many others is that it's difficult to understand it because you don't understand dream spiritual language. Let me give an example. In the book of Job, right? Job chapter 33, beginning at verse 14, it says, "For God speak once and even twice, yet man perceiveth not," meaning that he's going to use the option of communicating to you via a person, via some teaching on television, via this means right now, what have you. It goes on to say in verse 14, "For God speak once, yes, twice, yet man perceive it not." Listen, verse 15. So he now takes the avenue of a dream. "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep followed upon men, in slumbering upon the bed, or when a man decides to doze off. Verse 16, why is he doing this? Then, now that he got this man's attention in the dream, then he, which is God, opened the ears of men and sealed his instructions. Now, if you read that literally, something isn't right here. The guy's ears was always open. What do you mean now you open his ears? He's talking about his spiritual ears. He's talking about everything he's communicating to this person, such as a dream, a vision, a prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. These are all spiritual communicators. God is trying to download to this person. Now, what is even more interesting, because you sound like a very much of a vivid and frequent dreamer. The scripture says to us in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God said, if there be a prophet among us, I will speak to that prophet in dreams and reveal myself in visions, or vice versa. So in other words, God is trying to communicate with you. God is trying to speak to you. But if you're a person who isn't saturating yourself in the word of God, it's like me speaking English and you only understand Spanish. So I say, sir, avoid the pitfall. People trying to kill you. The guy got a gun. But all you hear is, so you can understand. So what does that do to someone like you, just like in a dream real life? It frustrates you. So one like me, who God has gifted in dream interpretation, I could explain what God is trying to convey to you and what you need to do to not keep you hanging on me, but to go off on your own now after learning the spiritual laws, rules, and principles. My advice to you is to go and watch those videos to educate yourself, the real reasons for fasting and how you should go about it. And I promise you, if you follow that way, you watch how things are going to change for you. You watch how you're going to see life differently. God is the one that brings the interpretation. Even though he would have gifted someone with interpretation, it is him. So the same way he could give it to one like me, he could give it to someone like you. You just have to make that sacrifice in trying to retrieve it.
Okay. So, Carla, once again, you can go on YouTube, look for Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, okay? And there are lots of inputs and videos that he has on there, but the one that he's referring to is End of Year Fast 2025, all right? So most of your answers will be there, but of course you have a lot of other inputs and videos that he has. Anything regarding what you may be questioning about, concerned about, you will find it on Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing's YouTube page, Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, okay? So go right ahead. For those who may have similar questions, as Pastor stated, you can go and look that up as well. All right, so here's another question. This one is via your guests say multiple times that those who work witchcraft can get results if they follow the instructions of sorcery. Kindly ask your guests to provide the scripture where this is permitted or even possible according to the Bible. I asked the same question last week but didn't get a response.
Okay,
I don't know. He may have asked it and I didn't see it. I don't know, because I usually try to get all the questions that I can.
Okay, so here it is. There's a scripture in either 1st or 2nd Kings. Anyway, it's a story about Ahab, who was the king of Israel at the time, and his wife, Jezebel. Now, in order to understand the story and to make this point is that if you go back to the origin, God had called Ahab. He was a man of God. He was a man dedicated to the things of God. He ended up doing something that God told the children of Israel not to do once they get into the promised land. Do not marry their children, vice versa, don't make covenants with them. He did that. If I'm not mistaken, I think Jezebel came from the lineage of the Zidonians or Zodonites, whatever they named. Anyway, they were the Canaanite people. Her father and descendants were all about Baal, Moesh, Moloch, Molech, and all these other things. She eventually converted him. Hence, the entire Israel of the God of Abraham under the rulership of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. They all resort to idol worship. So they had removed the godly priests and only to replace them with priests that worship idols in the high places, in the groves, and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was a piece of property that was next to Ahab and his wife's property. It was a vineyard, and it was owned by this man by the name of Naboth. And the story goes on where King Ahab had asked him if he would sell him the property, he would give him a good amount for it, because he really wanted it. And Naboth said, hey, no, I cannot do this. I cannot do this, and not so that I don't want to do it, but this is a family heirloom. I just can't just give away what really belongs to the family. the Bible says that Ahab went home very depressed, very down. And his wife, witchcraft, Wicca, witch of the year, Jezebel, says, well, what's happened to you? And he then explained what transpired between him and Naboth. She said, don't you worry about this. Go take a nap and I'll take care of this. When he went to the room to go to sleep, she got his writing stuff, drafted a letter, wrote it up, folded, put his signet ring on it as if it was coming from him. In this letter, they were telling the elders of Israel, okay, to how Naboth had blasphemed God. Now, when you see the word God here, you're going to think the God of Abraham and Isaac. No. Remember, they're under demonic powers. They worship in Baal. So they're saying he blasphemed their demonic God. She then put in the letter that they must get two sons of Belial, these two wicked boys, to now testify against him, which was a lie. But watch what she says next. Tell Israel to go on a fast. So let's look at the history. It's all about sorcery. It's all about witchcraft. There's nothing in the story about God. Right. So guess what? They've been on the fast. And as a result of this bewitchment, everybody agreed that Naboth should lie. But remember, there were two men who lied. That wasn't true what they said. And he was, his life, he was made unalive. So that is an example. Furthermore, I have this back shelf I got here. A lot of African preachers who converted from witchcraft to Christianity. You will read these all the time. How did they summons their spirits? Their certain spirits, they couldn't go there with the regular ritual. They had to do no less than 100-day fast. One of them, one of those books, I just had it here. The 100-day fast, the guy ate once a day. He eventually became what they call in the demonic realm an avatar. He became one of the top warlocks in Africa. So the scriptures are there to support that fasting is a principle. It's going to yield results, but it all depends on which kingdom you're fasting to.
Mm-hmm. All right, I hope. I'm sure that question was answered properly for you and you understand it. Just go ahead to 1 Kings chapter 16 and you can... Oh, before I put this one up, I think Chosen Vessel was trying to clarify her question. What I meant is this. In Isaiah 58, God talks about fasting, and he focuses on the heart of the person fasting, not their religious title. So my question is, if God accepts a sincere heart, why would fasting be limited only to people who already call themselves Christians?
Because the people who are not Christians are defying your sincere... okay, let me calm down. And let me retract a little bit. Do you believe, and I'm talking to the corner of now, do you believe every good person is going to go to heaven? Is the qualifier for heaven a good person? Meaning that, Trish, I am a giver. I love people. I don't curse. I was faithful to my wife. I've never cheated on her. I raised my children. And I lived to be about 80 years old, doing the right things in life. And I died. Good person. Everybody spoke highly of me. Everyone who ever encountered me knew me to be a good person. Am I going to go to heaven based on the qualifiers for heaven? No. Come, because the Bible is very clear as it relates to the rules. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's the key, that whosoever is a good person shall not perish, but have eternal life. No, you didn't read that. Whosoever believe in him, the only begotten son. So the question is very simple to answer. At the end of the day, your sincere heart on fasting does not change the rules. You must accept Jesus Christ. You must be in the fold of Jesus Christ. It was just like me. I worked for FedEx. Yes. Okay. And I had benefits as an employee of FedEx. Do you think I would have gotten those same benefits if I was just a customer of FedEx? No. You have to be within the confines of what the rule dictates to get the results of the rule. So you could be a sincere person. You could be a good person. But the scripture says, if you are not saved, you are considered a wicked person. The scripture says that if you are not saved, you are condemned already. This is John 3, verse 18. For those who believe are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they didn't believe in the only begotten Son. The word condemned means that you already judged and you are now going to be sentenced with a punishment of eternal separation from God when you die. So the deal is, we don't want to cut, we want to do it the right way to get results. So in order for that to happen, give your life to God. You want the godly results? Give your life to God. Father God, I'm on board. Now I'm subject to whatever you ask me to do to get the promises you promised me.
All right, so as promised, there are a few questions that is not related to the fasting, but there's more. It's more about dreams. I got two different texts here. Pastor Kevin, is there anything else you want to wrap up with fasting first before we go into the questions about dreams? Go
right ahead. One thing, and that is fasting is a heart condition. And the tenure of a fasting should be by the Holy Ghost. Some people would say, "But Kevin, to be honest with you, the Holy Ghost didn't give me a time to do it." Okay, well then let's go to another biblical law that you could use. And it's the same law as it relates to giving. The law says, "Let every man give according as he has purpose in his heart." But let fasting be the same thing. As you have purpose in your heart. You didn't hear from the Holy Spirit, but you know you need to fast. So you do according as you have purpose, but you must stick to what you believe. You cannot be wavering. A double-minded man is what? You ask, not in faith or in doubting, believe that he will receive from the Lord. So your heart condition is key in regards to fasting. The last thing is this. When you fast, fasting is not about you. When you go on fast, you fall into one of two categories. A selfish category where it's all about you. You want this. You want that. Or it's selfless. Selfless is, God, I'm believing you for spouse, I'm believing you for a car, I'm believing you for my health. But according to what you have ordained for me before the foundation of the world. So what you're saying is that I'm not being selfish. It's all your will. Because it might be in your will that I not have this car. It may be in your will that this person I'm praying for to marry may not be the person for you. So I don't want to trump or supersede your will. So that is the selfless fast as opposed to the God, I want him and I want her and I believe in you and I turn down my plate for her when it right could be not the poison for you.
Okay, so let me see if I can go with this. Is all right. Now, Dexter, stay in the spirit. I'm gonna ask it, and let's see what happens from here. I understand that Jezebel gave fraudulent instructions and committed fraud. However, how do we know that Satan or demons cause negative things happen and not God to fulfill his prophecy? Satan, scripture, does it say he allows for witchcraft to work?
I'm not going to debate this anymore. That's foolishness. I've already explained it. If you don't want to accept it, if you want to cause a debate, then go elsewhere with that.
Yeah, we're not.
If you know me, I don't put up with nonsense. Okay, I've made it very clear. I gave you the scriptures. If you don't believe the scriptures, then I don't expect you to believe me. Next question, please.
Okay. I remember when I fasted last year, June, all of a sudden I dreamt about my aunt-in-law, and I never dreamt about her all of those years. It was actually the first time dreaming about her, and after that, I kept on dreaming about her. One of the dreams I saw, she turned into a black cat.
Ooh. Of course, I'd have to know much more of this, but when it comes to dreaming, one of the symbols of a witch in a dream, cats. Okay? If it is a black cat, or anything or anyone in a dream, for example, I remember doing a teaching, I can't remember the topic, but anyway, if you had a dream about a person, and the person was dressed in all black, let's say it's a male, black hat, black shoes, black gloves, whatever, that is a symbol. It's a general symbol of, now, generally, cats in a dream, and again, it all depends on the context of the dream, will represent witches. I've had many dreams like that, but in this dream, not only is the cat which represents a witch, but it's a black cat. But what makes this dream even worse? This is your relative. Now, let me be clear. If the dream happened once, okay, good. This could be a masquerading spirit trying to deceive you or turn you against your aunt. Or you might have the dream more than once, but sporadically. But if you're having them either consecutively or more often than not, and that face constantly comes up as the common denominator, remember what the dreams are about. Because when you understand dreams, it's all about the spiritual realm. So for the most part, what you see in that dream and based on your knowledge and reality, it will never match. For example, let's just say that the dream is showing your aunt is a witch. In real life, your aunt may be a church-going, Bible-believing person. But at the same time, you don't know what your aunt does at night when she's not exposed to the world. And let me be clear, I am not calling your aunt a witch. I'm not saying she's a witch. I'm just giving you principles to go by. That's it. We're not labeling anyone here. We're not accusing. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving you. So if you're having that dream regularly, I would ask you to fast specifically, even if it's just for a day or however the Holy Spirit leads you, God, please give me more revelation and insight or reveal in detail what is it you're trying to show me in regard to my aunt.
Amen. Okay, so here's another question. We have 15 minutes, and so I want to wrap up with questions and let you speak with anything else that's on people here on your lane. It says, hi, Trishawn, I have a question, not really about fasting, but dreams. What if you have a dream, wake up, go back to sleep, and the dream continues? You wake up again, same thing, you go back to sleep, it continues where it left off again. This happens about This happens about 4 times in one night where the dreams continue. Does this mean one must go on a fast for clarity to hear specifically what God is saying, because it's not normal?
Well, you're absolutely right. That's not normal. But wherever you have a dream, I've had several of them, where you woke up from a dream, you actually got up out of your bed, went to the bathroom, used the bathroom, came back, took you about 3 or 4 minutes to fall back to sleep, and the dream continues. These dreams are equivalent to the scripture that you just read, where mm-hmm. it says that God speaks to a man once, yea, even twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night, to seal his instructions, meaning that such dreams, these are important messages from the spiritual realm. God is really trying to get your attention, to give you, you need this information going forward. Remember the story in Judges chapter 7 and verse 9, coming off the heels of Judges 6, where Israel was going under this problem with the enemies because of their disobedience. And the angel visited Gideon and said that, hey, you mighty man of valor, God has called you to deliver Israel. The next chapter, because Gideon was still, God shows him, but God told him to go into the camp of his enemies, where he will now be eavesdropping on a dream that his enemies had pertaining to him, conquering them. This is another case. It's more of a physical example of God showing him how important he plays a major role in the victory of Israel, so much so that I've given your enemies the dream to show you victory through your enemy. This case here, this person should not take this lightly. I would strongly suggest to them, go on a fast, asking God for complete clarity. And one more thing, every dream like that, write down. If you can't remember to write it down, grab your phone, push your record device, and just speak the dream immediately when you get up, because you're more likely to remember all of the details.
All right. We have time for one more call. After that, we can't take any more calls. We want Pastor to wrap up, okay? All right. Your Lane Talk Show with Coach Trishawn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Coach Trishawn and your guest.
Yes, sir.
Let me find out, does your guest have the church?
My ministry is online.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, can you just ask a question and then you'll...
Why I ask that is because, okay, if you in a church and your church is going on a fast, now, don't everybody have to be fasting for the same particular thing? Or you can go on an interview, you could fast for something individually, but you're still on a 21-day fasting, or everybody have to agree that we are fasting for sicknesses here, we're fasting for marriage, we're fasting for building, we're fasting. Everybody has to be on one accord. Because they say we're 2 or 3 agree.
Okay, so
then you'll see something. Do you have to be all on one
okay.
fasting for the same thing?
Okay, well, we're going to allow you to hang up, and he's going to answer that for you. I think it's a good question. So thank you so much for calling. He's going to answer, okay?
All right. Okay, that's Trisha's first question. And something that I...
Go ahead.
Hear me now?
Hear you now.
And it was something.
It's still an echo. Lord, what is going on? That's all right. Let's go. Let's move.
Something that I pounded on in my teaching on interview fast, and that is the one of the keynote speakers to fasting, aside from doing all the rules, but the basis is unity. Unity is key. That person is absolutely right. And to just give a summary of what I'm talking about, remember the story about Jairus, I think his daughter. Remember, she was sick, she was dying, and they sent for Jesus to come and heal her. You know, he was delayed because of the woman with the issue of blood. Mm-hmm. To mock and laugh him. He ignored them, so he continued to proceed inside the house. When he got into the girl's room, everybody was saying that she was dead. Before Jesus said anything, listen to what he said, because this is the power of being on one accord if you want godly results. He said, you, and you, out of here. So this is the problem I have with God, with corporate fast. See, corporate fast is going to require the commitment of everybody, right? We cannot have this group over here complaining about the pastor, but yet pastors say that this fast is about healing, it's about a refreshing. And the pastor's right, he's on one accord. However, the people that you're bringing into this corporately, they're not all on one accord. Remember, now let me show you where the same unity, synergy is a principle again, a spiritual principle. So in the book of Genesis, I think it's Genesis 11, that talks about the Tower of Babel, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they were building this tower into the heavens. They were led by the first king of the earth, and he was King Nimrod, okay? An evil, wicked king. The scripture goes on to say that God, looking down, says, hey, look, what are these guys doing? That they, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, went down to observe what these guys were doing. And verse 6 of, I think, Genesis 11, listen to the law of unity. God says, wow, behold, the people are one, and they are of one language and one accord. Therefore, whatever they even imagine to do, nothing shall be restrained from them. Now, Trish, these are wicked people he's talking about. But as you can see, a principle, like I was trying to explain to the caller, with the scenario about fasting being for good or evil, when you're dealing with a principle don't look to see if you're black or white, fat or skinny, whether you're safe or unsafe. If you engage this principle, and depending on which kingdom you're engaging it to and for, then that's the results you're going to get. So I agree with the caller. If we're going to call a corporate fast, we better ensure, I don't know how they can do it, that all of these people are in one accord. We don't need people in here. If we believe in for pastor to get rid of this cancer, or first lady to whatever, we can't have people gossiping. Remember in Isaiah 58 from verses 1 to verse 4, it was them being scolded by the prophet that the fast that you went on was not of God. Yeah. One day you went to fast, you turned down your plate for 24 hours, and while you were fasting, listen what he said, you were gossiping with one another, hitting each other with the fists of wickedness. What type of fast is this? So I 1,000% agree with the caller. I told you from last week, I will never go on no fast, which I know already. Some people here gossip and talking and going everything contrary to the fast. I will never join that on a corporate fast.
Wow. So caller, yes, just ensure that everyone is on one accord. And of course, power of agreement is powerful and paramount. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. So we have 5 minutes left, Pastor. We want you to just wrap up everything that you need to, and then at the end of that, you can share where people can hear more of your messages and follow you, please.
Okay. So, Trish, what I'm going to say right now is kind of a little bit contrary to what we're talking about overall, but I think it's a point that needs to be made, and here is the point. Dealing with a teaching that I'm even currently dealing with now on my program, and that is, listen, people, we live in a time where everybody wants to contest the word of God. Everybody wants to give their beliefs, their ideologies, their version of the word of God, their interpretation. We are not called to fight the opinions of others. Our job is to present Jesus Christ, him crucified, and his gospels and his rules. There are people that will agree, as well as there are people that will not agree. And there are people who love to do debate, to change narratives. Stay far away from such people. You want to make sure your soul is right. You want to get other people on board so that their soul will be right. You want to have a better quality of life. That can only happen if you adhere to the rules of God. Now, look at the people who contest, rebuttal, debate the word of God. Look at the results in their lives. Now, look at those who actually obey God's word. You will see a vast difference. So my message to all of you, and I know this is out of the scope of what we're talking about, and that is stop trying to debate. I understand you trying to be educated, but if someone gives you an answer from the scriptures, we can't go beyond that. What are we still running on with this for? Take it or leave it. If you don't believe the word of God, then it's impossible for you to believe.
Come on. I love that. I love it. All right. So as we wrap up, I'm sorry I cannot ask any other questions. We literally only have 4 more minutes left. But I would love to read this response because I share with this. I would like to extend a great thank you to Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing for giving such a clear and meaningful understanding of fasting. Your teaching has helped me to know better and do better. As the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Thank you, sir. And may you continue to win souls for the kingdom of God. Wonderful. I had to read that. All right. So, Pastor Kevin, can you, who are hearing you for the first time, where they can get more of your messages, please?
All right, so those of you who are not aware of me, like Trish said, if you live under a rock, okay, you can find me on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, which is now X, TikTok, Instagram, all under Kevin L.A. Ewing. You don't have to put the pastor, you don't have to put minister. Just type in. If you don't want to do that, just go to Google, type in pastor or minister Kevin L.A. Ewing or Kevin L.A. Ewing, and pull up all of my venues. I also have a website, which is kevinlaewing.com. And on that website, you will find many variety and versions of my book, Prayers That Work. I wrote a book called Prayers That Work, which is literally not telling you how to pray, but how to incorporate the word of God in your prayer. The reason for that is because he said to remind him of his word, not our word. You'll find that book on that site in Spanish, French, and in English, as well as you'll find it on Amazon. Just type in Kevin L.A. Ewing again on Amazon. And you will pull that up also. I also have it on that site exclusive, the audio version, again, in Spanish, French, and in English, as well as the e-book, all right? For those of you who want to write me, you can go ahead, but I can't guarantee your emails. My email address is just my name spelled backwards, and that's Ewing, L.A. Kevin, @icloud.com. And also on my website, I have a merch store where we have cups, pens, mugs, and all of that other stuff, a lot of them with my catchy phrase that I normally use, called I'm trying to help you. And many of those that watch me, you know, I get a lot of humor sprinkled into my sermons. So they will be the areas in which you can reach out to me.
Absolutely. It was an honor once again for having you on board. Guess what? We have 2 minutes left, but this is what I want you to do. I no longer will have access to the Guardian's text, so I have 2 books, and the first 2 people to give me at least 2 points of what Pastor Kevin mentioned today, though these books will be yours. Prayers That Work book, we got 1 and 2 people. Just give me 2 points that was mentioned today that ministered to you from Pastor Kevin L.A. Ewing, and the book is yours. The number to call, you have to be in Nassau, okay? You have to be in New Providence. The number to call is 376-8689. That's 376-8689. All right, so Your Lane, episode 158. We want to thank our sponsors, Your Lane Life Coaching, John Schuster and Accessories, Tropical Gyros, Children's Dream Journal, YBE Promotions. So much. God bless you. Next week, we're going to be talking about soul boundaries, protecting peace and purpose in your life with Dr. Shannon Davis. All right. Please like and subscribe while you're listening and tuning. We got much more, lots more things, lots more topics for you to help with your soul. Thank you so much to Pastor Kevin once again. Thank you, Mrs. Deidre, for making sure that Pastor Kevin was on time and straight and neatly presented today on the show, and for feeding him. To God be the glory. All right, thank you to our producer, Chris, for holding it down. As always, thank you to our Your Lane listeners, to our callers. Thank you so much for calling. And I hope you continue to stay with us as we air every Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I pray that you were all empowered, educated, and encouraged today to stay in alignment as you walk in your lane. Happy fasting for those who are fasting. May God continue to answer your prayers according to his will. Make sure that your prayers are selfless and not selfish. God bless you and happy Sunday.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website, www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
This year is going to be magical, and Lurix invites you to feel the magic by taking care of you with small luxuries at excellent prices. Shop with Lurix all month long for our mega sale up to 50% off on selected fragrances, skincare, cosmetics, and so much more. Feel the magic and save this new year only at Lurix.